ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Mushroom Case Daily. It's the podcast that follows the Erin Patterson case, which is an alleged triple murder which has made headlines around the world. I'm the host of this podcast, Christian Silva.
And I'm Stephen Stockwell, the producer of Mushroom Case Daily, and we have just had Erin Patterson's third court appearance. And look, this was a pretty interesting one. It could speed this case along pretty significantly. So to fill you in on what happened, we're going to continue our regular bit of getting Christian to wrap up the day in, I don't know, under a minute or so. You good for that?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Today's hearing started a bit like the last one, with people appearing on Zoom links. So Erin Patterson was beamed into the courtroom from a women's prison where she's being kept. Her barrister, Colin Mandy, SC, he also appeared on a video link, presumably from Melbourne. There was also a prosecutor. And in the actual courtroom in Morwell itself was Magistrate Tim Walsh. This hearing began with Mr. Walsh explaining that there'd been some discussions, presumably, behind the scenes between the parties since the last court hearing, and he confirmed that Erin Patterson has elected to take this case straight to the Supreme Court for a trial, skipping a bunch of legal steps in the process. Erin Patterson then formally pleaded not guilty to the charges. It's the first time in a courtroom where she's actually been required to say that and to put it on the record. So that is important. And now we're off to the Supreme Court to find out where this case goes to next.
Christian, thank you so much. Wonderful wrap of a very kind of, pretty surprising day, really. All in, basically a minute, which is perfect. So thank you. Excellent TLDR. We came into the court hearing today kind of expecting conversations, maybe not even a decision about whether this would continue in Morwell. That's in southeast of Victoria and where these alleged crimes occurred. I was at my desk watching the hearing. I'd only just managed to get the sound sorted so I could hear what was happening when the magistrate started talking. And he pretty much immediately went straight into how it was going to a trial, which I was not expecting. so I was, fumbling around trying to wave at someone or talk to someone because you were downstairs in the newsroom. Were you as surprised as I was about that?
It was a little surprising to hear that Ms. Patterson wanted to fast track the case given what had been said at the last hearing. And people will remember their last hearing, her lawyer got up and said that Erin Patterson wanted to keep the case locally, and also was going to step through methodically the legal process by taking this case to a committal hearing, which she's absolutely entitled to do. But in Victoria, it's a really slow process and it's tedious. And they were, last time, fully committed to that process. So for them to have now come back today and said that they want to skip the committal altogether and go straight to a Supreme Court trial is quite a change of tact. And ultimately what this means is we're going to get answers and we're going to get an outcome in this case quicker. So from a efficiency perspective, it's a good result.
I've printed out this little flowchart that you saw at my desk today on like how things move through the Supreme Court. And the committal hearing is where they kind of check the evidence and a magistrate decides if there's enough for it to go to trial. By going straight to the Supreme Court, we kind of skip like four or five of those little steps, right?
Oh, correct. And it also means that we save a lot of time. I mean, realistically, we've probably shaved 12 months off this case. And that means that we're going to get an outcome quicker.
Okay, interesting. And, I'm not wrong in describing this as kind of a fast track, am I? Like, that's a reasonable way to assess it?
That's a perfect description of it.
And is this something that you've seen happen before, that kind of fast tracking process?
It's not that unusual in Victoria, because what it indicates is that both the defence and the prosecution are very keen to get this over and done with one way or another. Erin Patterson has pleaded not guilty, and that means, I think we can read into it fairly safely, she wants this to go to court, she would like to be found not guilty, and she would like to walk out of prison, where she's currently being kept on remand at the moment. Likewise, the prosecutors clearly want her to be found guilty and they would like that to occur at a trial as soon as possible. It's up the stakes for everyone and it's meant that it's all going to be done quicker.
Now, Erin Patterson's previously said she was innocent. We made that quite clear in previous episodes, and today she formally had the opportunity to plead not guilty, which she did. Is that important at all, given that we, you know, I guess we probably already thought it was going to go that way.
I think it is, Stocky, because we see all sorts of cases where people outside the courtroom make all sorts of declarations about their innocence and say all sorts of things. But it's one thing to do that, and it's another thing to actually do it formally in the courtroom. And Erin Patterson has made her position absolutely crystal clear now. So I think that is important.
And it was really formal too, that whole process. Like, it was the judge going through every single charge, and each time she had to answer each one.
Oh yes, it's a very formal process, even though there's a slightly informal sense that people are on video links, the decorum isn't lost. And the judge went through each specific charge, of which there's eight, and said, do you plead guilty or not guilty? And each time she very calmly and concisely and clearly said, not guilty, Your Honour. And she repeated this same statement eight times. It was definitive, but also very calm.
Yeah. There was also a bit of chat about some of the attempted murder charges as well. Is that also really important, or was that just one of those kind of matter of process things that they roll through?
Yeah, they were clarifying some of the details on the charges, which they needed to amend for accuracy's sake. Mm. So what we know about the charges is that there's three counts of murder, which relate to this lunch that Erin Patterson hosted at her home in Leongatha. Mm-hmm. The people who died were Don and Gail Patterson, her in-laws, as well as Heather Wilkinson, another extended relative. Then there's five attempted murder charges. One of them relates to Ian Wilkinson, who was at the lunch but didn't die. He survived after a long stint in hospital. Mm. That leaves you with another four. One of them is relates to Simon Patterson, who is Erin's estranged husband. Police say he was an intended target of the poisoning at the lunch. However, he wasn't there. Then there's still another three charges relating to Simon Patterson. What we do know about those charges is that police allege that Erin Patterson tried to kill Simon Patterson, the estranged husband, in November 2021 at Corumburra, which is the town just down the road from Leongatha. They allege she also tried to do this in May 2022 at a place called Hauqua in regional Victoria, and again, allegedly in September 2022 at Wilson's Prom, which is a really popular hiking, camping destination right in the south of Victoria.
And is it important for us to now know those dates and locations?
Well, it's absolutely vital that the charges are accurate. Otherwise, this case can't proceed properly.
Okay, good. I mean, it is nice to be correct and have everything squared away.
We try to be accurate.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's nice that they're doing that in court as well. Well done. What happens now?
Well, this case is going to transfer from Morwell to Melbourne, and it's going to begin in the Supreme Court. There's still a bit of admin work that needs to be done. They're going to have to do things like timetable this case to figure out when they can do this trial. They're going to have to finalise who the witnesses are.
Are they basically getting out like a giant diary, like my day to a page, and just sort of flipping through
looking
for room? Oh, yeah.
Some of these early hearings in the Supreme Court are very much diary exercises. There's a judicial officer who's called a judicial registrar, and they sit up there on the bench and they spend large chunks of their days scheduling trials in advance. It seems incredibly boring, but it's very important work.
Oh, look, I love a well-managed diary, so I get
somebody's
it.
Got to manage the diaries, yeah, for the big trial judges.
Yep.
And the judicial registrars do a great job. So they'll be looking at when they can hold this trial. And then after that, they're going to have to just go into a little bit more detail in planning who are the witnesses in this trial going to be. And a judge may have to make some decisions about what evidence is in and out.
With this moving ahead, the way it's moved ahead, does that mean we now get a trial much sooner than we would have had otherwise?
It definitely does, Stocky, and it means that from this point onwards, you're looking at about a 6 to 18 month process to get this case ready for trial. As I mentioned, there's a lot of things that have got to play out behind the scenes. They've got to line up a lot of things, and then we'll be ready to go. We'll be ready to impanel a jury, and then we'll be finally ready to resolve this case once and for all.
Thank you, Christian. Before we go, we've had so many questions from all of you who've been listening, and so we just want to get into some of them and try and answer some of the questions that we've had. One that I think is particularly relevant that has been sent into mushroomcasedaily@abc.net.au is from Pat in Western Australia. Now, Pat is asking about bail, because we've got this process now where Erin Patterson is waiting for a trial. She is in on remand at the moment, so she's basically locked up inside. And Pat is wondering how Erin Patterson can apply for bail, which is where she's kind of released with these conditions and checks, until the trial. How would that work? How would Erin Patterson go about that, Christian?
Well, the first thing, and this kind of goes without saying, is Erin Patterson will have to make a decision herself as to whether she wants to be out in the community while she waits for this trial to go ahead, or whether she would be preferring to wait in custody. Obviously, that's a very personal decision that she'll have to make. If she decides that she would like to be in the community, she will have to make a bail application in the Supreme Court. And it could create this slightly odd situation where you have two separate legal processes going on at the same time. One is the kind of timetabling of this case, and the second is the bail application. Obviously, it's all broadly linked, but they'd be two technically separate legal processes. And during that, what's going to happen is that if she applies for bail, the court would need to be satisfied that there are exceptional circumstances to allow Erin Patterson to be released.
This exceptional circumstances thing is something that I would like to touch on, because Pat, who was sent in this question, I suspect has knowledge of the legal system given how specific his question was. And he was actually asking about those circumstances, because that's a standard that's set in Western Australia. And so that is a similar standard in Victoria as well.
I was digging through the legislation, Stocky, to try to find out what exactly exceptional circumstances are. There's actually not a specific definition, but having sat through quite a few court cases and seen this kind of thing argued in the past, often you see people's lawyers say that there are exceptional circumstances that require the person to be out of custody. Perhaps they have a health condition that can't be managed in prison, or perhaps they need to look after family members, things like that. What constitute exceptional circumstances? So the first step is, if Patterson was to go for bail, the court would have to be satisfied that there are exceptional circumstances. If not, it's an immediate rejection.
Thank you, Christian. And thank you, Pat, for that wonderful question. If you have any questions yourself, you can send us an email, mushroomcasedaily@abc.net.au, and we'll look after you.
That's all we've got for you for this episode of Mushroom Case Daily. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks with an episode on what happens at the next hearing in the Supreme Court.
We certainly will be. And in the meantime, if you've got questions that you'd like Christian and I to answer, who are we kidding? If you want questions that Christian can answer, send us an email, mushroomcasedaily@abc.net.au. I have loved reading all your emails, so please keep them coming. And if you could include your city or your suburb in that, that'd be lovely.
Or even your country if you're listening from overseas, because we know there's such massive interest in this case.
Very true. We would love an email from Belgium.
Tanzania.
Wonderful. Get in touch. Christian, how can people keep up to date?
Stocky, for everything related to this case, including when we're in the Supreme Court in a couple of weeks, make sure you track down Mushroom Case Daily on the ABC Listen app, and please hit follow.
All right. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.